Hello?
Hey, Gary?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
How was lunch?
Good. I like to sit down with the family occasionally.
What's that?
I like to sit down with the family occasionally.
That's good. I was just going to say, it's better that way when the wife makes it for you. It makes it more enjoyable.
Yeah.
So, what was your idea? What were you thinking?
Well, we need to get people inside, and those four, you know, my feeling is we still hold the ground. We took a hit on the battle on the 26th, but we still hold the ground, and if we continue to hold the ground, it will be a positive for patriots around the country. That right now, is it a defeat? No, because we still hold the ground, but if it becomes a defeat, it's going to be disheartening. So if we can get some people in there to bolster this, now the problem is going in armed is a problem, but there are some weapons in there. I have no idea how many. Lavoie's room would have his arms in it. Ryan Paines would probably have his arms in it. Ryan Bundy, Ammon, and the people that were arrested probably locked their rooms when they left, or perhaps nobody has gone into those rooms if they weren't locked. And so there would be some available weapons. I don't know what the four have, but just enough to hold things back. And if that happened, then it might be another rally for people to come and reinforce that, you know, continue to hold the ground.
Yeah, but my concern is, you know, getting close to there. They have that perimeter set up, about 6 mile perimeter around. Even if people were to come, I'm not sure how they would get access to that location.
Well, my understanding, most recent, I think yesterday, is from the Narrows down to the blockade is open.
Right. So are you saying just go to the blockade?
Go to the blockade. Now, the problem is the report I got was they've got the same configuration, one car in the center of the road facing out, and two at an angle, same thing they had up at the shooting. But they're on our side of the bridge, which is an advantage because they could be pushed into the water if they were overwhelmed. Or in the alternative to that ditch there that the bridge goes over, which is where the front end loader was, looks to be about 4 feet deep, but I don't know for sure. It's about 30 feet wide, 30 to 40 feet wide by the bridge. So if people got to the barricade and split, going both directions, and there were no arms, the government would look awful bad if they started shooting. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't, but then they would lose a lot over that, blood on top of blood. But there's also other ways perhaps they could get in without crossing that river, which would be over towards the east side or the southeast.
Well, so I got a call, I'll just share with you too. I got a call this morning from Oregon State Police because they had saw the all that information that was going around that I had sent you.
Yeah.
And they told me that if people come to the barricade or the roadblock, that they would use whatever means, you know, appropriate force, whether it be, you know, arrests if people are unarmed, if people got arms, you know, whatever was needed. So my concern is now with all the hype and all the attention on this, that it would have detrimental results and still fall on, still back to square one. My other concern is, you know, when I spoke with David Fry a few nights ago before their comms were cut off, I guess it was the last night I was in Burns, you know, he made it very clear that he doesn't trust the Patriot community anymore, and it's just that those four there, and that if anyone came, you know, they would be untrusted because it'd be trickery, and, you know, then I'm afraid of engaging in a firefight there.
Well, but at the same time, he's asking for help from the Patriot community, so it would be a matter of him feeling comfortable initially. You know, I know David, I met him, not a whole lot of time with him, but he was in the media center, and we talked a few times, and I'm not sure if I know Sean or not. I think I recognize him, and Jeff Banta, I'm not sure of, but I think he's the guy that was one of the team leaders out of the MOB. So they would, but I'm not up there, so. But
yeah, I know I'm back in Boise too right now. I don't know. The problem is too, is even if we were to go down that road, you know, a couple different things. We're coming home to a point of no return. And then, you know, manpower is always a concern too, of who is going to show up and carry something like that out, and the consequences of that. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, OMD mail list and participation has grown from nominally. The other day there were 4,532 visits to the page, and about 40 new people have signed up for the mail list. And my feeling is if they started cross country now, they don't know if these guys are going to hold out or not. You got four people surrounded. And so if we had people in there, and the staying power was there, we would put out a call out. And what I think might be kind of interesting, if we could get, you know, hundreds or a thousand people there, and they formed a battle line like the old British and came up from the south, that would overwhelm the guys there. You know, that line, if we had 1,000 people, for example, shoulder to shoulder, it'd be 3/4 of a mile. If they had two feet between them, it would exceed a mile in width.
Right.
And that would be something that, you know, nobody's been used to since World War II. And even World War II, it's very rare that occurred. But that goes back to the old method, which would be something unanticipated, to say the least. You know, you can't mow down all those people.
Well, my only concern is getting that many people to show up. I mean, with my estimate on what's sitting in Burns right now on the FBI side, they probably got 300 to 400 agents just on the FBI side, or contract, or whatever they are. Then you got your local assets. I mean, we would have to have 2,000 well-trained patriots to show up to carry anything out like that. And that's just, in itself, is something that I don't know if it's possible.
Well, I think 1,000 would be
well-trained.
I think 1,000 is enough, and as far as well-trained, if they right shoulder arms and just march up there, that would be intimidating in itself and would be interesting to see the consequences. As far as well-trained, it's nice to have well-trained, but other people can fire weapons too. They've done their, you know, they're running around the forest playing soldier, but they've gone to the rifle range, they can aim and squeeze. And I would hope that if we had that overwhelming force, we could avoid any bloodshed. That's the reason I think that might be viable. Now, as far as participation, when I put the call out on the 26th, the one that you didn't like, and I apologize, but, you know, if we could have gotten 20 or 30 people in that night, we'd be far better off. I don't know why it dwindled so quickly. When I left there were 8 or 9 people there, and there might have been a 10th SEAL 1. But I wasn't asking Jason how many people inside. That's just what I got from conversations that transpired between him and people. And I was assisting him primarily with the press, lining people up to interview him.
Right. Well, and we put out several calls to action too during the entire duration we've been there, and asking for help and at all levels. And you know, the reality is everyone's going to be in place and have no issue, and then as soon as the heat turns up, they bounce. You know, that's what, you know, as soon as LaVoie was shot, I mean, everyone just kind of scattered, you know, and I think it was just such a shock. No one expected that to go down that way, and so I think we're going to, you know, that's another reason why a lot of people just scattered and left.
Well, you know, the people up there were more of a passive support than anything, because there were a lot of people contacting me asking if it was time. And I put out that flyer, and then or that notice, and then I rescinded it about 24 hours later, and some people that were packing their gear ready to go. There are a lot of people that will come to a non-passive event where they're not going to come to a passive event. And this goes back to civil disobedience versus civil defiance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you think back to April 2014, how many people from Las Vegas, I think the highway was 2 or 3 lanes, but it was backed up 4 miles, and most of those were militia.
Right.
So when there's a potential for something that's not passive, is more on the defiant side, the participation is going to be a lot greater. But guys that have been training as militia don't want to hold signs. So
no, and I agree. But you know, the concern is like, where were those guys when this whole thing started? You know, it's kind of what we bounced back to the same wall again. You know, I don't know, and I don't know. I don't necessarily know if taking the offensive against the guys at the barricade, armed or unarmed, is necessarily a good idea either. Just because of, we saw what they do to an unarmed guy like LaVoy. You know, and I don't want anyone else losing their life.
Well, LaVoy didn't have a gun in his hand, but according to the people I've spoken with, he never went without the shoulder holster. They always left their weapons in the car, and the 45 revolver was probably in the car. We know rifles were there. McConnell actually had his pistol strapped on when he backed up to them and laid down. They disarmed him and cuffed him then. Ryan Payne got out without any weapons on, and... So you know, their normal pattern though was to have arms in the vehicles, and in talking with two other people, that LaVoy never went without his 9mm, and it is tucked well under his shoulder, so there's no bulge, or under his armpit, so there's no bulge. So it appears he has it, at least with my investigation. There's no reason to believe that he didn't. Shauna got in the truck too late to see if he was armed. Her and Victoria getting in there was because they missed the Sharp family van that had left 10 or 15 minutes before them. And
right.
Victoria was late getting ready. So, you know, if we get people in, that would they would perhaps be subject to arrest if we didn't have the turnout. But the opportunity for a bloodless battle, I believe, is there. One that we could win because, you know, there's a lot of sympathy for what's going on, but there's no active militia-oriented activity. And why did the people not come up? Well, what got Ammon and everybody in that crew so complacent that they thought they could go anywhere without risk? Early on, I talked to Ryan, and I told him I thought there was a risk even going into town unless he had a good contingent with him. But over that month, I'm sure the FBI told Wade to back off. And Wade backed off. And I think it was a plan that they pulled out of a box and adapted to there. After the Bundy Ranch, they must have had their think tank working on different situations. And one of those would be something not too unsimilar from this, where they would allow the people to come out and become complacent, and then at some point when they knew where they would be and when they would be, or approximately when they would be, they would spring the trap. And in this case, going through the forest was ideal for that. No phone reception. The Sharps tried to call. They couldn't get through. Curved roads, minimum sight distance. And so when, you know, they planned it well. And the
right.
complacency created in that 4 weeks was just fatal to LaVoy and got everybody taken down. The entire leadership except Ritzheimer, who happened, and John's really not a leader. He's a good follower and very obedient, but the leadership was taken out all at once.
Well, and that's the thing is, and that was something that I conversed with Ryan and Ammon many times. Like, if you guys are out in the town and out and about, you need to let people know so we can be, you know, overwatching, scouting around. Many times we'd be standing there and we watch them drive by and we're like, what? You know, they're in town, you know, and so it's like, you know, we're taking a lot of hits because we weren't there, but it's like, you know, we can't be somewhere we don't know. And that was an ongoing concern that we were always trying to address. And you know, and I know Ammon and how he goes. He's okay, let's go, and they load up and go, you know.
Yeah.
There's really not a whole lot of, okay, I'm ready, let's go, because the guy was going 100 miles an hour, you know.
And any anxiety disappeared over those 4 weeks, if he had any to begin with.
What's that?
Any anxiety over what might happen outside the refuge, if he had any at the beginning, was completely dissipated 4 weeks later, because they did have the freedom to basically go where they wanted to go.
Right, and they did that on, they allowed them to do that on purpose to get complacent.
They what?
I have no doubt that they allowed them to do that on purpose for those several weeks to get complacent.
Yeah, I think that was part of the plan, and it was implemented very early on by telling Wade, let them go, let them go, let them go wherever they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So the foundation to make it easier to spring the trap later was there, and then when the opportunity came up when they knew most of the leadership, Shauna was the only one that went by accident. You know, she went to take care of Victoria.
Right, right.
But that was it, though. She was the final, really the final straw in the leadership there.
Right, right.
So they got a coup on that one, and it was well laid. They were just waiting for the opportunity to spring the trap after they realized the complacency had settled in.
Now, do you think there was anyone from the inside feeding them information to help get that set up?
I don't think so, because everything was public. You know, the fact that Shauna was there was different, but you know, they knew what time they had to be at John Day, and okay. So then they had to leave at least 2 hours before that. And even Lavoie said, "We've got 50 miles to go," so he was well versed on the distance up to Tom Day from where they were, where the first stop occurred.
Right.
And there's only one way to Tom Day unless you want to drive an extra 40 or 50 miles. So, and then it being ideal for this type of ambush with the trees and the curved roads. So,
yeah, it was definitely an ambush. So we went up there and visited the site. And, you know, when I sent a team up right after they opened the road back up, and we got some photos, we got some stuff that, you know, definitely shows what their intent there was to do, you know, and there's no doubt in my mind that was an L-shaped style ambush. That's military tactics, you know.
Yeah, it was pretty, you know, if he had a little more momentum, had been able to get back on the road, and he may have lost that momentum when he, if you look closely, he swerved to miss that agent that jumped out in front of him.
Yep.
Just a little.
Exactly.
Because in the snow, you can't turn sharply, but you can even see in the tracks that there was a slight turn. So him trying to save that agent's life cost him, it may have cost him his.
Well, and he was on the brakes. If you watch the video, his brake lights were on for a good 200 feet because he was, you know, he was moving. But that, if you go stand up there at that corner, they put that roadblock just past the apex of the corner, and another 300 feet was a long straightaway. So
yeah.
You know, putting that in the corner is that's like a law enforcement 101 no-no as a cop side. That's more of a military tactic.
Right, and they didn't expect him to get out of the kill zone either.
Right.
They expected him to stop, and but I don't know. It worked, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know it did.
So,
you know, by the grace of God, the others are alive, though.
Yeah.
That was intended to take them all out.
And apparently Ryan Bundy still has a bullet in his shoulder, so the trauma center at the hospital apparently was not realistic, because if their trauma team was daytime only at a small hospital like that, and there wasn't time to call them in, then obviously the FBI, the alleged FBI trauma team was not there, or they would have removed the bullet.
Right.
And as far
right.
as I know, he still got it. So.
All right. Well, keep me posted on what you're kind of hearing. I'm not quite sold on that just yet. BJ's there on the ground, so he's been working on that, you know, trying to figure out how to approach that. Do you have BJ's number?
No.
Okay, I'll shoot it over to you. And this is your cell phone, right?
No, this is my copper wired phone. The cell phone I had up there was 30-day unlimited. I can give you the number on it, but in the office here, I'm old fashioned. I don't even have call waiting on the phone, and some people find out what a busy signal is. What was that noise when I tried to call you?
Yeah, why didn't it ring through? That's awesome. Well, I'll hang on to this number, and if you're going to be out about, end up leaving the area, you can shoot me your cell phone number so we can stay in touch.
Well, let me give it to you now.
Okay, go ahead.
541.
541. 889. Let's pull on here.
889. 3816.
Perfect.
So if he gets that funny sound, he can call that, and if, you know, I don't like to be rude to one and pass off to another, but you know, sometimes it's necessary. So if I get a call from, how do you say his name? Is it Sober or what?
Oh, Soper, Sober, yeah, BJ Soper.
Soper, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard the name, I didn't know the pronunciation. If I get a call from him, then more than likely I'll be rude to the other party, which is why I don't have call waiting.
All right, perfect. And I'll shoot you, it's in my phone, so I need to wait till I hang up, but I'll shoot you a PM with this phone number.
Okay, very good. And, you know, like I say, if we can find some way to get a relief column into the people inside, that's the only way we'll be able to find out if we can get a massive response, and we can hold them back 20 or 30 miles if necessary to see if we can accumulate a force that could be effective.
Right.
But I think that the motivation for other people to come is going to be a little more hardcore than holding signs, even though that's a good ploy to get right up to the blockade. And I don't know why Royster went public with that, but I mean, he should have called you or something and talked to you about it. But that was based on my team had actually, while I was on Royster talking to Jimmy this morning, they came up with that information, so I passed it on to him as a possibility. Melconico is always posting bullshit, but just like the 27th, when I was getting ready to, well, I was going to go to the Narrows and stay there after the that morning, and I received a phone call, and it was, you know, they're going to try and kill you, Gary. Well, I discount that. I know the government doesn't like me, but I discounted it. But you can't get something out of your head, and that's when I decided that I was going to go back up to Burns. And it took me 50 minutes to get through the blockade, and two people behind me passed me in the process. There were three clearing stations then, and I was getting worried. But, you know, you get something like that, and it sounds ludicrous, but you can't discount it. It would be foolish from an intelligence standpoint to take what Melconico said or that phone call I got that morning and just say, oh, bullshit, I'm not going to consider that at all.
Right, right.
So.
No, you're exactly right. Well, and that with that getting, that spun out pretty quick, and the other one spun up and that went viral. So I had Oregon State Police call me, FBI called me. You know, they were thinking we're ready to go and start shooting and engaging. So it kind of blew, you know, any, you know, just kind of, you know what I'm saying, right? It just got them all spun up.
Yeah, and like I say, Jimmy should not have gone public with that. It was not intended to. If he could have, would have called you or somebody that knew you and said the truth. So it was really an act of gross indiscretion on his part to go public with that.
Yeah.
I assumed it was a confidential conversation. I would have had no problem if he had contacted you and kept it at least out of the public domain.
Right, right.
But
we'll work through it. It's okay. And then by all of us coming together and working together, it just makes things stronger. So it's all good.
And I will tell you, I knew it was Royster. And I just wanted to see if you were going to be honest with me, and I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I had to ask the person who sent it to me. I'm like, hey, who told you that? I passed this along, so she told me, and I'm like, all right, perfect.
Yeah, and I had
back. Here's the thing, man. Whenever I get information, if I know who it came from, I will tell you. I mean, it's if it's something that, you know, otherwise I'll be straight up, hey, I can't reveal where the source came from. It's credible, Gary, but here's what I heard. And, you know, I'll preface it for you so that way you know how to treat it, but.
Okay, I appreciate that, and it's good to finally shake your hand, Brandon.
Yes, even though we're doing over the phone, I appreciate it, and you know, this is what we all need to be doing, is working together and building our network, you know, larger.
Yeah, and as far as OMD, we really don't know what the response will be, but the respect that OMA established at the ranch, I believe we'll get the following if we need it, but it has to be something harder. So.
Well, just, I'm going to put, BJ's on the ground there, so he'll have a better vibe. I had to come home like you and take care of some family stuff and my business and work and get that kind of, you know, being gone is tough. But, so I'm going to have you get with him because he has a better vibe on what's going on over there with the whole situation. So I'll shoot you his phone number right now.
Okay, and we'll feel it out and see if and what we can do. And
all right,
work
like
together to that end.
All right, man. I appreciate the phone call.
Okay. Bye, Brandon.
Thanks, Gary. Bye.
Bye.